is TAN Talk, entertaining and informative radio for the Sunshine State.
Welcome to Go Yard with Mama Mac, helping you to hit a home run in life when you feel like striking out.
All righty now, it's time for Go Yard, and we, as always, are very excited to be right here live in the studio with you all and doing this great show. We enjoy. I love our intro, Dr. Angel, when it comes on and the crack of the bat, you know, the baseball field. Love it. You and I both love baseball, and it's just cool. And our show means, Go Yard means what?
Hitting those home runs in life.
Right. And how do we learn to do that?
Listen to the show. That's how
Listen
we learn to do
show.
That.
There you go. Tell your friends about it. 2.5 years into this, and we're loving it all. And it's a life coaching show all about helping you live more successfully, hitting those home runs and base hits instead of striking out. And just a metaphor for how life so often we feel we get in those ruts and we feel like we're striking out all the time. We can't seem to overcome in this situation. We don't know how to get out of the mess we're in, and the problems are mounting and we don't know what to do about them. And that's what this show is all about.
Absolutely. You know, it's so easy to feel buried in life.
It is, isn't it?
And you know, and a lot of times we have people in our life, our friends, our family, and we'll want to call them and be like, oh, I'm going through this. But sometimes they don't. They hear you and they empathize, but sometimes they don't have great ideas or tools to help you get out.
Exactly.
You know? And so that's what this is about.
It's free counseling, isn't it? It really is. I mentioned this a couple weeks ago. If any of you want to become a sponsor of this show, just text me at 727-888-4171. And I'll send you an advertising package, which is very reasonable. And you could sponsor the show. Or go to our email, goyard2014@gmail.com. Why would someone want to help sponsor the show?
Well, for a lot of reasons. First of all, they're getting their name, their company, their business, whatever it is, out to a great audience. And they're getting helping other people continue to get to hear all these great tools and supports to live that Go Yard life.
Exactly. So, again, I give you that text number, which also works all during the show, or 24/7, 365, which reminds me, I better turn my ringer off. But 727-888-4171 comes directly to my phone. We're going to have a question and answer show soon in a few weeks. And so we really encourage people to send those questions by email, right? Because they're lengthy.
Usually very long, and we even edit them down some.
Yeah.
But that's okay. That's okay. So
we
send them in, email them, text,
sure.
Send them in.
GoYard2014@gmail.com. We want to hear the story of our listeners. And I don't ever want to forget to point out who you are. I know who I am. I'm Mama Mac. I know who I am, Bobby. And there's Bobby in there. We know who we are. But it's you. Do you know how special and incredible you are, and how blessed this audience is, and I am, and Bobby is, to listen to your wisdom week after week? Dr. Angel Falzone, PhD, licensed mental health counselor. Here it comes. Oh, that kind of reminds me of the night it was her birthday.
Oh my god.
Do you remember
gosh.
That night?
I'm still getting over that one.
Do you remember that?
Yeah, I don't. I'm nowhere near that song. Fortunately.
Thank you. Thank you.
Five times we played the birthday song for you, didn't we? That night on your birthday. But you know, I'm serious about that. We joke around and we have a great time on the show. But I am very serious about how this show is because of your expertise, and we are thankful for what you do and the wisdom you bring to the table and the years of experience and what you currently do. Which you, if you'll tell everybody what you do with your two bachelor's degrees, two master's degrees, and your one PhD. Have you had any time to get another PhD?
I am not going for any more right now.
Okay, all right.
I promise. I'm done.
You should have some more. I don't know.
I know everyone jokes about that, but I am done. I promise. I work in community mental health, and so I am running community mental health agencies across Florida.
Yes. Now you have several that you are responsible for and travel a little bit.
Yeah.
But you're always you're here on Thursday night, right here in this chair.
As often as I can be. And you know, and that helps because our listeners get to benefit from what people are going through and where are some of those struggles.
Sure.
A lot of those show topics come from.
Yeah, they do.
Where people are really struggling in the moment. And that's what we want it to be about.
Right. Absolutely. And you've been having many counselors, almost 30 under you for quite a while. And so you work with all those different cases with families. And this show is really about that. It's about family dynamics. It's about interpersonal relationships, how to make them better.
Absolutely. All kinds of stuff. I don't think there's a topic unturned.
Right.
That we have identified at this point. We will take them all on.
We take them on. We take them on. We love it. And so if you have ideas for a show, we love to hear those too. Just text me 727-888-4171 and I'll throw it by Dr. Angel. All right. Parenting Difficult Kids Part 2 is where we are tonight. We had really gotten so much material together on this, and because we're both mothers, and me, in my case, grandmother, and we had a lot, and we still have a lot we want to talk about. Last week, we talked about difficult kids, and how do you define those? I mean, somebody says difficult, what's that mean to you?
Well, you know, a difficult child can mean a lot. You know, it's any child that you're kind of having some kind of struggle with.
Right.
You know, sometimes they're just that disruptive child. You know, maybe they're that demanding child. They want your time and attention. Maybe they're that oppositional child that doesn't like to follow the rules. Or the kinds that like to get their little heels right behind the line and test you all the time.
Exactly.
There's some that are more sensitive that can be challenging. Some kids have learning struggles,
right?
Behavioral struggles. So, you know, anything that makes it a little more challenging to parent. And sometimes what makes it more challenging is there's an isolation because you may not have somebody who's been through that to help you, like, oh, I tried this, to help give you some support, too.
Right.
So you might feel a little more isolated with it.
And if you missed part one of this series, go to the podcast here on tantalknetwork.com. Bobby always has the podcast up within a few hours of the show or the next day at the latest. And so you just go tantalknetwork.com and go to podcast and go down to the name of the show, Go Yard, and you'll find it there and listen to it as many times as you want. And also, at the end of each month, we put all our shows on our website, goyard2014.org. It's an ORG. And there they stay forever with titles. Now, that's the difference. That's why we do it, put it on our website. What's the benefit of that, Doctor?
Well, when it's by title, you'll have somewhat clue what that show is about.
Right.
So when you are going through that issue or that struggle or that difficulty, you can find that resource right then and there that will meet your need.
Exactly. Let's start off tonight with challenges, because life is really hard, isn't it, for kids that don't, quote unquote, meet up to their parents' expectations or fit the mold that their parents think they're supposed to fit in. And, you know, a lot of times it causes them to feel like they're bad and something's wrong with them, you know? And they don't accept themselves, and they feel like others don't accept them because they are a challenge.
Exactly. And, you know, they're the kids who typically will have the lower self-esteem. They just don't feel like they fit in anywhere because they're labeled bad or a misfit or something's wrong with them.
Right.
And, you know, and it kind of can become a self-fulfilling prophecy, because if they feel like that internally enough, they will start really acting bad, and sometimes they'll find themselves falling really into peer pressure to find that acceptance, or getting into sexual relationships too soon, or all kinds of stuff to find where they fit.
Right, find where they fit. And, you know, it's been my experience as a mother and a grandmother that difficult children can start at a young age. It doesn't have to be teenagers. And a lot of times we equate difficulty parenting with older kids, but it is not necessarily that way at all, right?
I think when we say difficult kids, people think the twos and the threes and then the teenagers.
Right, yeah, and that in between everything's great.
Everything's great.
But it's not the case.
Not always, no.
Yeah, we call it the terrible twos, which I really feel like it's more like the threes. But anyway, that it's difficult, I mean, to parent these kinds of kids that are oppositional and don't want to mind and et cetera.
Absolutely. And when, especially like learning disabilities, they start manifesting between first and third grade for most kids.
Right.
So, you know, that's that safety zone that people think that they're in. And so there's no age you can't have a challenge with a
right.
child.
And a kid is not going to come up to you and say, Mom, I want to have a talk with you. I am behaving badly. I know I'm a challenge to you. And I really don't know what to do about it. So let's talk and let's walk. It doesn't work that way, does it?
Not at all. Kids communicate through behaviors.
They communicate through behaviors. Okay, so explain that.
So when
they're
kids,
not going to explain to you what they're feeling, right?
No, and most times they cannot. They're just not developmentally equipped to be able to do that. It's not where they are. And so when a kid needs your love or needs your support, he might go hit his brother in the back of the head or try to stuff the dog in the microwave oven. Like, that's what they're doing to get your attention.
Right.
They're behaving outwardly to show you, I need something from you.
Exactly.
And usually what they're getting from you is reprimand and trouble and consequences and a yelling.
But they have your attention, though.
They have it for a few minutes before they have that rejection of leave me alone, go away, you're bad feeling again.
Right. Yes.
And bad attention, negative attention is still attention.
So on that line, how do you feel about timeout as a punishment?
I think I like timeout and I don't like timeout. And you're going to be like, what in the world? So there's something called time in as well. And so it depends
really?
On the child. Absolutely.
Okay. Let's talk about time in and time out.
Okay. Well, time out is where you would put a child off to be by themselves to kind of think it over kind of strategy, kind of give them an opportunity to separate, to change their behaviors. Time in is where you're sitting with that child, next to that child, helping them work through a difficult moment.
Whoa. Mm-hmm. Okay, and how would you do that? Give us a scenario of a behavior that would need time in.
Oh, a temper tantrum.
A temper tantrum.
And typically when kids are in temper tantrums, you know, parents are trying to reason and they're threatening all these punishments if they don't stop. And if you use time in strategy where you just sit next to them, you don't have to always touch them, just be there. Your
okay.
presence is letting that child know, I love you enough to help you work through this. And a lot of, they will regulate into your emotional tone. So you can re-regulate a child's temper tantrum just by how you handle it.
Do you know, as a mother and grandmother, I've never heard the term time in?
Really?
I've done time out for years, that with my children, see it done with my grandchildren. I respect that concept, and I think it works a lot of times.
I do, too.
But I've never heard about time in. This is something new for me tonight, and this is great. And I need to know that because I'm getting grandchild number 12 in a few weeks. So talk more about time in.
Well, you know, time in is really, I like to use it more when a child's just really emotionally dysregulated. A lot of times we talked about our kids who are struggles. They know their struggles. They feel bad. And so when we put them in time out, especially an emotional tantrum where their emotions are high, we're pretty much kind of rejecting them and okay. making them figure it out on their own, and they can't.
Right.
They don't know. That's why they're in a tantrum. This is an extreme overwhelmness. Something's wrong.
Right.
And so time in gives that child an opportunity to help, let you help that child regulate their emotions in that moment where I'm going to be with you.
Okay.
And we're going to sit here for as long as it takes.
Wow.
To work through until you feel okay again.
Wow.
Now, that doesn't mean we do time in and there's no consequence for whatever happened before.
Ah, okay. It's not a substitute for time out.
No, because time out is a consequence. Time in is a loving way to help a child re-regulate themselves and get a grip on themselves.
So would you suggest a three-year-old having a temper tantrum, would you suggest a time of time out and then time in?
Well, time in to regulate.
First,
get their body, help them calm down, get back together. And now we can, once your brain hits tantrum, you're not thinking, there's no higher order thinking happening. Your brain is just totally working in like fight flight mode,
okay.
that danger mode. And so we're trying to reason with these kids. They can't.
They can't reason.
Parents are getting frustrated. So what's happening when a tantrum's happening, a kid's getting hot and heavy, the parent's getting hot and heavy, frustration level just grows.
Right.
When we use time in, a parent's coming down to that child's level. I'm going to lower my voice tone. I'm going to say soft words. I'm with you. I'm here with you. It's going to be okay. We're reassuring that child that I'm going to help you work this out. And then once they've calmed down, we can go sit on the couch because now they'll be able to reaccess that higher order thinking of the brain and we can process what just happened. And then we may need to do a timeout. We may need to go to bed early. We may need to lose dessert, but they're regulated and they can handle it that moment.
I love that. I love that. And so does that work for all ages or does
Absolutely. Time in is a really great strategy.
Okay.
And it works really well. And it lets the child know
I love them, care about
them enough to help them work through it.
Cool. Love it. Time in. Okay. When we have these kids that get themselves into destructive behavior, they're hurting themselves. They're hurting their siblings, perhaps. They're, you know, whatever. They're kicking the dog or whatever they might be doing to get that frustration of the moment out. Is that what you recommend for, let's say, a 13, 14-year-old?
Well, it depends on the age of child. Depends on the child. Depends on what they're doing. So our first thing we always want to do is make sure our child is safe and we're safe.
Okay.
So that's, like, number one rule. So no matter what's happening, safety's got to be number one.
Okay.
That means a child's starting to become very aggressive towards everyone, getting that child to a space by himself or herself where they can't continue to hurt the other people. We have to protect everybody involved.
Okay.
Their
room, is that a good place or is
it
not?
It may be their room. It may not be their room. It depends what your house looks like, who's in those spaces, what objects are like, how out of control they're getting.
Right.
You know, I have my youngest definitely had his out of control moments and can throw the 3-4 hour temper tantrum and lose his emotional regulation because he was OCD and you never knew what happened. So if he interpreted something wrong, he could have a whole meltdown for hours and nobody knew why.
Okay.
And so, yeah, there were times where we got him to a space to himself. And sometimes I would have to wrap my arms around him when he was younger to keep him from hurting himself.
Wow. Okay.
So I'd have to kind of cradle him and hold his arms back.
Yeah.
So he wouldn't hurt himself or anyone else.
Wow.
So it's keeping everybody safe, first of all, is really important in the middle of that. And keeping yourself
keeping
calm.
Everybody safe and calm. Okay. So when kids are overreacting or acting out or whatever the term you want to use or just being bad kids or being misbehaving, it's a sign that something else is bothering them usually, or does it necessarily have to be that?
A lot of times it is that something else is going on. It was another trigger. It's their way of telling you something's going on somewhere a lot of the times. Or it's a sign that they don't feel safe or their environment's not consistent. There's something wrong.
Right. Yeah.
And so a lot of times what's happening for our kids is that their environment is not predictable. You know, families, especially in today's culture, they're kind of flying by the seat of their pants.
Right.
You know, we eat whatever, whenever, however, like there's no consistency. I walk in. First thing I do when I take a family into therapy is what's dinner time? And most of the time I get these looks like, what do you mean? We eat dinner whenever.
Yeah.
Well, how do you eat dinner? Oh, we just grab through the drive through and everyone takes their food and goes, plays their Xboxes in the room.
Right.
So, you know, we're looking at
what's common in our society now, isn't it?
So is.
And it's so not right. We talked about it last week about a set dinner time. And it's so important. Why?
It's the consistency. It's the predictability.
Yes.
It lets a child know I'm safe. I know what's going to happen next. Because a lot of kids, they have tantrums because they don't really know what's happening and when it's happening.
Doesn't it also say to the child, I value spending time with you? And if we can, you can't come, like your kids, can't come to the table with cell phones. My kids, when they were little, we didn't have cell phones. So that wasn't an issue. But you can't come to the table like that because we value communication with you and we want to talk and interact with you and have a good time.
Absolutely. That lets a kid know and feel loved and valued and a part of the family. And so when kids are misbehaving, there's something triggering that.
Okay.
Sometimes it's not as easy to know, and sometimes it's a little quick to figure it out.
Okay.
The first thing I'd have to say when you're talking about parenting, any kind of child, is parenting is not a spectator sport. It is an active,
you said
active,
that last
active,
week,
active
and pain. That is something that's worth writing down, audience. It's not, parenting is not a spectator sport. In other words, you have to be, thank you, Bobby, very, very involved. And yes. And you're involved 24/7. It's not like you can be involved from this moment to the next and then forget it. Because even when your kids are at school or whatever, you might be called to take pick up a sick child or whatever may happen. Right?
We're parents 24/7. And, you know, I get a lot of parents will have those tweens and teens that'll come, oh, they should know better. They should know this. And I'm like, should they? How should they know that?
Mm-hmm.
You know, because they're just assuming that they should know something that maybe not have been communicated clearly or often
right.
enough. And so there's a lot of assumptions happening and then a lot of very frustration happening because parents are frustrated. The kids are acting this way. Kids are frustrated because they're just doing their thing and maybe they're not sure if they should do that or not. And so
as a mother, long time ago, but still am. One of my children was very defiant as she began to turn 11, 12, 13. And it was almost like she did not value the things that the rest of us valued. You know, she was in her own little world. You know, she was, and it was like everything, she was the oppositional, I guess, is the best word for that. And you want to define oppositional because I think a lot of parents have kids like this and they don't know what to do with them. And I certainly didn't really know what to do.
It's challenging. Oppositional kids are the kids that they'll stand up and they will ignore your directives. They will say no to your directives.
Exactly.
They're going to do whatever it is that they want to do. They're kind of the ones that try and rule the roost and make the rules.
And then when she was told no, okay, and at this point in her life, her dad and I were divorced. So we have two conflicting parenting things, two homes, you know, that kind of thing. And she had a stepmother by then, okay? And so there's that dynamic. Do you want to address that? That happens in a lot of families in the United States these days.
Oh, well, absolutely. There's a lot of homes where kids are coming back and forth between different parenting styles, different schedules, different whatever. And I'll deal with a lot of these families and they'll come in and they're like, well, oh, my ex is so blah, blah, blah. And they just won't do blah, blah, blah. And we just can't co-parent together. And I'm like, okay, then let's single parent together. You can still have a consistent home. You can
right.
still have clear expectations. You can still follow it too. No matter what happens over there, you can still provide in your presence that consistency.
So that's what you would recommend.
Absolutely.
To a parent out there that cannot
see. I lived it.
Yeah.
I lived it.
You lived it too. Not just me. And so, yeah, you just have to, you are responsible for you.
For you and your home.
I was responsible for me, my children, and my home. And when they were over there one day a week, then that was a totally separate situation.
Absolutely. And you don't necessarily, I mean, when you get along and can co-parent, that's like best case scenario.
But a lot of people can't do that. I mean, it's not, you
right.
know.
A lot of people just can't do that and then they give up.
Right. I want to talk more about the result of that that age of child. Now, we've talked a lot about younger kids, but I want to talk a little bit about those tweenies, you know.
Okay.
What are they, 11, 12, 13,
yeah,
something like
the
that?
Tweens.
Or 10, 11, 12. Oh, man, difficult time, you know, 12. Woo! Bobby, let's go get some music here, and we'll be right back. Don't go anywhere. Call a friend and have them check in with us.
Do the right things. So now you have to let your baby fly.
Megan, an independent ambassador for Plexus, the pink drink. There is finally a healthy solution to help you lose weight. It's a most natural product that will burn fat, not muscle. People around the country are experiencing amazing results, and you can too. Check out my Independent Ambassador website for my contact info, testimonials, and product information at mkramer.myplexusproducts.com.
Prompt professional service is what you will receive when you allow Marcia McAllister of Charles Rittenberg Realty to help find that perfect home or list your home for sale. With over 23 years of experience in the Tampa Bay area, you will enjoy a smooth transaction from start to finish. Call Marcia today at 727-417-0707. Now is a great time to buy or sell a home. Call Marcia McAllister at 727-417-0707.
And she kissed her head and said, I was just like you. You're gonna miss this. You're gonna want this back. You're gonna wish these days hadn't gone by so fast. These are some good times. She knows it, she's a brand new bride in her one bedroom apartment, and her daddy stops by. He tells her it's a nice place. She says it'll do for now. Starts talking about babies and buying a house. And daddy shakes his head and says, baby, just slow down, 'cause you're gonna.
Whoa, what a great song. We got tears in here, Bobby, because we're living this. And I've been so blessed to have my youngest son and his wife and the baby that's still within her belly home for the last couple weeks. You've got Anthony here from the Army right now. We're doing that parenting thing right now, you know, pretty much. And just the thought of Anthony getting ready to go to Afghanistan and my kids moving to Texas. And there's just a lot going on in our personal lives. You okay?
I'm fine.
Picked that song.
I did. I didn't know it was going to have that effect on me.
Because, you know, life goes by so fast.
It does. And, you know, a lot of times when we're with our kids and it's chaotic and they're fighting and they're hitting each other and you don't have time to cook or time to think. And I can remember times where I don't know if I took a bath in a week because I was so busy being a mom.
She doesn't mean that literally, audience.
But the truth is you do miss it. And,
yes.
You know, this week I am crying. I'm sorry.
It's all right. That's okay. I think the audience loves that you're that human. And that
you know, and this
such
week
a good mommy.
I got to have all three kids. I totally missed the little pickings and the sounds and the laughters and the games. And you do. Matter how
you
stretched
it.
You are, you will miss it.
Yeah.
Enjoy every second.
Enjoy it. Absolutely. And I guess that's one of the goals of this show, Doctor, is to help our families and our friends live life to the fullest and take advantage of those moments, you know? And when our kids are home, you know, Anthony, you probably haven't seen him for a year. It'll maybe another year. And we ask our audience, you know, to pray for him, that he's safe and all of that. But you know, it's just as they get a little older, you begin to really cherish those times. And you realize life went by very, very quickly.
Yes, it does.
Because my daughter-in-law and I were sitting talking about baby Mark when he was little. And she was asking me questions about how he was. And as I was talking about stuff like that with her and her mother this weekend, it just brought it all back, and how he was Spider-Man, you know, and all this flying around the house at age three and all the stuff that he was and how cute he was. And it goes so quickly.
That is very true. And I think a lot of parents are out there missing the good moments.
Because the bad can be really bad.
And stressful.
And so a lot of times we find ourselves saying, I just wish this kid was grown. I just wish this kid would get out of my house, you know. And unfortunately, we have a lot of parents out there that kick their children out at a very young age for one reason or another.
Definitely. You know,
drugs,
had a conversation with a parent who had her oldest was 13, and she's like, "Oh, I'm done raising this child."
I'm really? Like,
"Huh?
How do you do that?"
No, you're not. You're right. Like, your child needs you now more than ever, and you know, and it's frustrating, and it is. And you know, the thing is parents just wait until they are so overwhelmed,
right,
and they're at their wits' end before they start thinking about making changes or getting help.
And then they come in like the sheriff in town, right?
Absolutely.
Sometimes.
And it doesn't work that way. Change is slow. Lasting right. change is slow. And I know we've talked about that so many times. And so small steps make big differences.
Okay. So you mentioned something last week. A good way to handle things is to tackle one issue at a time.
One issue at a time.
And I think when I look back on my daughter at 11, 12, 13, the issues were so many at that point.
It's hard to pick one.
It was hard to pick one. And I didn't know that concept either. And I felt overwhelmed. And I didn't have the support of her dad, etc. And you look back and you think, man, I should have handled those years differently. Parents, if it's past, it's past. Now work on the today. Present, mm-hmm. you know, and the future. And don't beat yourself up, parents, for what you didn't know.
No, and we all make mistakes.
Yes, we do.
You know, parenting is on the job learning, totally. You know, and there's nothing wrong with, you know, there's times I've disciplined a child or I've made a mistake and realized I made a mistake. And I went to that child. I'm like, you know, I'm so sorry. I made a mistake. And will you forgive me? And
right.
I'm going to try to do better or work harder at this. You know, we're all learning and growing together.
Exactly.
And it's true.
That's so important, isn't it?
Absolutely.
Yeah, you said last week to work on one thing at a time. I just want to come back to that point because how do you do it when your kid seems to be totally out of control?
Well, it's hard because you're right. What do we pick? Where do we start first? Because everything, it's like a snowball, you know?
Right.
You can't find any good happening in this moment. And so we start small. And sometimes the change may not even be of the child's behavior. Maybe my first change is we are going to start making our house a little more consistent. We're going to have
dinner
at 6:30. Maybe we're going to have a bedtime. Maybe we're going to have a point out in the week where we just have fun as our family.
Right.
Maybe that's where we start. Because as we start working on things like consistency and family structure, some behaviors will work out because that's what your child's telling you here.
Because
she
your
needs.
Child wants that.
There's
right.
safety in that.
Right.
And then once you start showing structure and we can change some of our structure, which we have more control over, I can't change the person's behavior, but I can change how we run our house, then we can start implementing, you know, expectations and, you know, this is how we're going to behave. And when we don't, this is what's going to happen.
Right.
And
oh, so you're talking about really setting expectations for the child. Here's what happens if this happens, right?
Oh, absolutely. You know, and here's the thing. The consistency parents have, they don't. One thing I can find about parents, most of the time, they're consistently not consistent.
Yeah.
And so I talk to parents.
The consistent thing about them is their inconsistency.
It's true. So
that's, yeah.
You know,
right.
So the child does something wrong. They talk back to you. They could have one of 45 different punishments. Depends on the mood, or they may get no punishment, depending on the mood of that parent in that moment.
Wow.
And so when I work with parents, the one thing I work in is to find a consequence, one consequence for one behavior, and that consequence stays the same.
Okay, one consequence per behavior, okay.
And it's clearly defined, and it's clearly communicated. Everybody knows it should never be a surprise to a child what their consequence is going to be.
Clearly defined. I like that. So if you're taking notes, write that down. One consequence per behavior, clearly defined, set out in advance, correct?
In advance, because that takes the emotion out of parenting. A lot of times why parents are overwhelmed is they're trying to do it in the moment.
Right.
And so if we can start pre-planning some of those moments, we're taking that stress off of you.
Right.
And then it's more of a matter of fact, ooh, that was a stinky choice. I'm sorry, you lost dessert tonight because that's the consequence of that choice. Maybe next time you can make a better choice. You know, and using words, your choice, this is not your bad. This is your choice. What did that do? That just empowered a child to
Boy,
do
that's
it
good.
Different.
That's so good because so often parents, especially with multiple children and stress levels high and working and trying to cook or whatever the case may be, do the laundry, whatever, get so overwhelmed that the screaming, the level of the voice goes to a high pitch, and I think it's almost like kids don't listen at that point.
Oh, no, they totally, you are the Peanuts instructor, you know, wah, 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 wah. That's what they're
right.
hearing, I'm
That's
telling
right.
you.
Yeah, they are. They are.
You are not effective.
It's something about that high-pitched voice that really turns kids off.
Absolutely. That shuts
them
down.
Why is that?
It does. It just, they tune it out. Let me tell you, they are not hearing you. And so being an engaged parent, first of all, is we need to know, what do we want? What are we expecting out of our kids?
Right.
What is our family? What should it look like?
Right.
You know, basic questions, because a lot of parents don't even really know. They just know what's happening isn't okay.
Right.
You know, and then it's communicating it and talking about it. And it's not a one-time conversation. They should just know.
Right.
It is an over and an over and an over conversation.
Okay, talk about that, because I think that's extremely important, because when we tell them once, a lot of times in the heat of the moment, they're not listening, or they may really just be totally tuned out to what you're talking about and never even hear what the consequence is going to be for that behavior the next time.
No, and they may not be paying attention. I personally made a consequence board and hung it up. You know, I wrote it and hung it up in the kitchen.
A consequence board, and you wrote it and put it in the kitchen. I love it.
Because it worked. Everyone knew it was there. We talked about it. We used to talk about it every couple weeks.
Give us an example. Give us an example.
Well, and I had, the consequences were like, maybe they lost dessert for talking back, not doing their, you know, if they couldn't get up for school without having a whiny time, then they had to go to bed an hour early. Like, everything.
Yes, that's good.
Fit a system up for the crime and the time.
Okay.
And it was clearly outlined.
Okay.
There was no, oh, what's mom going to do now?
Okay. So the crime, I mean, the time fit the crime.
Well, you know, and that's another thing. A lot of times parents get so overwhelmed, you know, the kid does this wrong, and then they give this huge exhaustive punishment that
you're grounded really for 2 months. Don't come out of your bedroom. Okay, well, how am I supposed to go to school? How am I supposed to, you know, and parents say that kind of stuff.
And then like 2 days go by and they're going crazy, and they're like, all right, go outside and play. And
right.
You just called yourself a liar, and you just showed your child you're not consistent, and we can't
right.
do that. And so when you can have the crime, you know, the time fit the crime, it makes more sense. It's a linked behavior to change. If
okay.
you can't wake up, then maybe you should go to bed early. There's a linked change.
Time must fit the crime.
Yes.
Okay. Thank you, Bobby, for yours. And because I think that's one of the huge mistakes parents make, probably one that I made myself many times, that it was overboard reaction.
They are. And, you know, it just, that's
in the
what
heat
happens.
Of the moment, don't you think?
It'll,
you just,
yeah.
Parents, I mean, I'm not making excuses, but man, you and I both are parents, and we've been there, and we know what it feels like when you feel overwhelmed, you're worn out, you just come in from work.
Right.
And what, they badmouth, or they
what, tore the house, had a toilet paper fight through your house, and you've got shards of toilet paper everywhere. And
or they
just
had
like,
a food fight or something drastic. And then, okay, you're grounded. You're not going anywhere for a month. I mean, that happens. Parents do those drastic things to intimidate, scare, whatever, but it doesn't work. It backfires, doesn't it?
It totally backfires. I've had parents threaten their kid's not going to get anything for Christmas. Like,
oh,
just,
that's
I'm like,
so
yeah,
ridiculous.
Right. You are totally not going to give your child any. Like, you are, so don't use it.
Right.
Don't even bring it to the table. And so it happens when we're emotional, exhausted, we're tired, or we're torn in a million directions.
I love your idea, though. If you sit down as a parent, if you've got a spouse, great, do it together. If not, sit down and think about the things that you're dealing with and the things that you could be dealing with as they get a year older, 2 years older, and make that consequence board.
Look,
I love that.
And it can grow and change. I did it on a dry erase board because some kids, I had to change consequence depending on the kid, because some kids responded to a different consequence more differently.
Okay.
And so I have three kids, and they were totally three. The expectation stayed the same, but maybe the way we handled it was different for a different child. Like, I had a child who liked timeout. He was a loner. He liked being by himself. I was not using timeout as a punishment. It didn't work.
Didn't work. Right.
But he liked desserts a whole lot, so taking dessert meant a whole lot more than that timeout would have. And so using what motivates your kid is really helpful, too.
Yeah, and you can know that from knowing your kids.
You know your kids. Yeah.
Right.
Get to know them if you don't.
Right, exactly. So often I think parents have this expectation when they're getting ready to have a baby, and, you know, it's going to be wonderful, and the kid's going to be my buddy and my friend and my pal, and I think they forget so often that the parenting part is not the buddy pal thing. You know, they can be your friend years later, you
right.
know, they get
but
a little older.
When they're kids, they
need
we
the
are
parent.
A parent. They need a parent, not
they
a
need
friend.
A parent.
Not a friend. They need a parent.
And I think a lot of times parents mess up like that.
Mm-hmm.
And especially with daughters I think mothers with daughters do that a lot. Maybe guys with sons. I don't know. But I know mothers with daughters do.
You know, another thing I hear a lot happening more frequently is parents who've made, you know, their mistakes growing up, maybe used drugs, drank alcohol, had, you know, ran away, skipped school, whatever. They seem to make an excuse and tell their kids they did this and it's permission to go do
this.
They
shouldn't really tell that, right?
No.
I agree. I totally agree, doctor. And I've talked to parents the same thing. Yeah, I told her how I did that and how I got pregnant at this. And I don't talk about that.
No, I tell parents, let them think you were perfect. You can tell them the truth once they're grown if you want. But during their raising, this is not the time to be, I snuck out and smoked pot all the time. We don't want them doing it.
So why does that hurt? Why does that hurt the child?
Well, we're giving that child... First of all, we're giving them ideas. Total permission, total excuse. There's no accountability.
Mom did this.
Right. And the parent's going to be more lackadaisical about what happens when the kid does this because, well, how can you punish me? You did this.
And you know what? It was my experience as a parent that they would throw that back at you, too.
Absolutely.
They're not above that. Parents.
Oh, no. They will use whatever they can. Kids will use whatever they can use as leverage. And so we don't want to open doors.
Right.
We just don't want to go there.
Exactly.
So let's not try and be their friend.
So back to the 11, 12-year-old who's beginning to think that they're all that and a box of chips, a bag of chips. And the hormones are raging. And something, you come home and you open a bedroom door and there's some kid on top of your daughter or whatever the case may be. Graphically, but that's true. And what do you do as a parent?
Well, you got a lot to do as a parent, I think. First of all, kids are going to be manipulative and the kids are going to be sneaky.
Right.
And, it's time that we sit down, first of all, and maybe we need to have some talks.
Right.
Maybe we need to set more boundaries in our house, but maybe we need to have more time together, too.
Don't you think a lot of times parents are so reticent to have the sex talk at a young age?
You know what?
But you know what? These kids nowadays, doctor, they know everything at fourth, fifth grade. I mean,
they do.
They can't wait till you're 15. Times have changed.
It's funny. When I was taking my human sexuality class, one of the statistics that we learned that bothered me is only 5% of children learn about sex from their parents.
Oh, that's a terrible statistic.
Which tells me 95% of families aren't having these discussions.
Right.
So we don't get to have safe discussions or accurate information. So where are they getting this information?
Right.
Peers, other people.
That's a horrible
TV,
statistic.
Internet.
Oh my gosh.
These
horrible.
Are discussions we need to be having
and,
with our
and
kids.
And unfortunately, yes, a lot of stuff now with
and
our
it's
culture.
It's ongoing. The sex talk really, and you're going to look at me weird, really should be starting about 3 and 4 years old. Not how people have sex, but about our body and about our boundaries and about good touch and safe touch. These are things that keep
right.
And that's part of
absolutely
our, that whole sexuality thing.
Mm-hmm.
And so
teaching them that if somebody touches you here, they shouldn't be doing that.
Absolutely.
Right.
Yeah. Kids need to know those things. Mm-hmm. 3, 4, and 5. And parents just, we're not going there at all.
And a lot of times because parents think, well, I don't want to call attention to it.
But we want to keep our kids safe.
But we need to keep our kids safe before anything else.
And information helps safety happen because what I find, because I work with a lot of children who've been through the sexual abuse, they didn't know it was wrong.
Right.
No one told them that wasn't okay.
Yeah, that's part of your expertise, isn't it?
Absolutely.
And nobody told them.
And nobody told them that was wrong. So they never told anybody.
Right.
And it happened over and over. And so we got to help our kids be safe. That's a conversation you can't afford not
to
have.
Wow, that's a whole show,
I think,
about safety. Write that down. Let's write that down. That's a great idea for a show about childhood safety and what to do with that. Wow. Wow, 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 wow.
But parenting, that goes back to parents need to be the heroes for their child.
Yes.
And we can't put expectations on kids that we're not letting them know what they are and clearly defining them. And we can't, just think that they should know something.
Right.
Because they don't.
They don't.
We can't assume anything. And sometimes we got to kind of be the hero and suck it up and do something we may not want to do or feel like. Last night was a great example. I came home from church tired, tired, tired. I had been up since 5 o'clock in the morning and, my son wanted to fill out his application for McDonald's, and I sat there with him till 9:30 at night till it was done. Did I feel like that? No.
Right.
But you know what? We parent sometimes when we don't feel like it.
That's exactly right. That's exactly right. How important is that? Yeah.
Absolutely.
Well, parents have got to really wake up and realize that we are so responsible for how these kids develop into adults. We are so responsible. And I think a lot of parents seem to think it's just going to happen. You know, it's just going to happen naturally. You know, but it doesn't just happen,
no,
does it?
No, it doesn't. You know, in fact, working with transitional adults, those are my adults 17 to 24 years old, and yes, 17 can be considered adult depending on the kid. They are not prepared for adulthood like the generation before. They can't cope. They don't know how to take care of themselves and make decisions, pay
That's
a
right.
bill, hold a job, wash their clothes, cook a meal. They can't
they
do
can't
these
do
things. They have no life readiness skills.
Right.
Like none.
And that has to go right back on the parents.
Absolutely. And then I have parents come in. I'm like, well, what chores does your child do at home? Chores? They're kids. Kids shouldn't be working.
Oh, yeah, they should. Yeah, they should.
So how are they going to know to do it? You don't just turn 18 and you magically know how to take care of things.
Right. That's exactly right. And so often, especially young men growing up in a household where mama did everything, they don't know how to cook for themselves. They find themselves, if they're not living at home in the basement again or whatever, they're on their own. They don't know how to cook. They eat out all the time because they don't know what to
and
do.
So parenting is a huge job.
It
and
is.
You know what? We are parenting for our kids to be successful adults. So everything we do from the time they're born to the time they leave the nest
so true.
Should have the aim of the end in mind. I am parenting this child to be an adult.
Right.
So when they say no at two and we start laughing, is that preparing that child to be an adult? No, it's not.
Right.
You know, and so thinking about what your end goal is kind of can help you decipher, is this okay or not?
So to the parent who says, you mean you have expectations of two-year-olds?
Absolutely.
Okay. And when the child is rebellious and throws a temper tantrum, we've talked about time out, time in, whatever, mm-hmm. as young as two or three?
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. The biggest thing with parenting the younger kids is on the consistency of the home and the defined family structures. You know,
okay.
I talk to families. We don't know who's responsible for preparing meals because it could fall on anybody from the child all the way through. Every day it could be somebody different to do this. There's not clear defined roles in a lot of families, like who's responsible for this so it can get done.
You know, through the years I've counseled a lot of people that had to grow up at, say, age, you know.
Way too young.
Way too young. Way too young. And, you know, it's just sad when that happens because they're still stuck back there. A lot of times they're stuck back at that situation where they, you know, they were forced to start cooking all the meals for the family and they're 12.
Right.
They're 10 and they're cooking the meals.
Absolutely.
And it's left a big impression on
them.
And
so having clearly defined roles, you want to talk about how you parent children, not just difficult ones, having clearly defined roles and expectations.
Right.
And everybody should have a part of this.
Right.
A three-year-old can have a part. A three-year-old
right.
could sort towels.
Exactly.
They love being helpers.
They do. My little twin great-granddaughters, they're three, and they absolutely love helping with stuff. It's just fun for them. They like to clean.
Oh, yeah.
When mommy cleans, they like to clean and get their paper towels, and they come and help me sometimes, and they love that. It's just fun, you know?
It is, but it's teaching them I'm a part of something. I belong to
right.
something. I contribute. I don't
right.
just get, and I'm not entitled.
Right.
And we have a whole generation of kids growing up with entitlement. And it's because they never had to give anything.
Yes.
They just give me. They got. Never had to give. Life doesn't work that way.
Do you think that's, we're going to do a show on millennials here soon. But don't you think that's a part of the millennial problem?
Absolutely.
There's not been responsibility chores. There's not been defined
expectations. Roles. I know a lot of families are just missing this and they're struggling and it's got to go back to this. This is where you're struggling. If you don't have your family structure taken care of, if you don't have expectations, if we don't know, you know, generally what to expect in your home when
right.
we do certain things we do, there's where you want to start.
This is so huge. And actually, I've really enjoyed this series. And obviously, we're not done with it. So part three will be next week because there's so much to talk about. This is a good time for you to tell people about our show, Go Yard, and have them tune in. Also, the show is heard every Saturday and Sunday at 12 noon Eastern on StarcomRadioNetwork.com. This show will be on Saturday and Sunday of this weekend, 12 noon. Star, four words to remember, StarcomRadioNetwork.com. And 12 noon, and you can hear this show again. Plus, you can come to the podcast. Tell friends, go to the podcast here. Go to Go Yard and listen to these shows. Doctor, it was just a great show. I love doing this show. I felt like a lot of very important information came out. And it's cool that both of us are parents, and me now grandparent, is fun to reflect back and see mistakes, but also see how maybe I can help my kids be better parents.
Absolutely. And that's what it's all about, you know?
Right.
You know, it is an on-the-job learning thing. We learn as we go. And
right.
So take advice from people who have been there and done it successfully.
Hopefully. Exactly.
You know, people who have, you know, where did I make my mistakes? I know where I made mine. And thank God my kids
Me
were
too.
Young enough I could fix some of those. And
right.
But it happens.
Right.
We're human.
And cut yourself some slack if you say, wow, I sure mishandled that. Well, then just learn from some of these suggestions.
Learn and grow.
And try them.
Try it.
And again, this is a good time for you to send your questions in for our question and answer show coming up soon, where you just say, okay, I got this situation, how should I handle it, or here's what I did, was that okay, or what should I do? Send those to goyard2014@gmail.com. And as always, if you ever want to ask a question of Dr. Angel, just send it to me and I'll get it to her. 727-888-4171 is our text. And again, our email, goyard2014, because that's the year we started the show, @gmail.com. Our website, goyard2014.org.
O-R-G. Wow, you got it out. I'm proud.
I got it all. All right. So part three of Parenting Difficult Kids next week. Final thoughts, Dr. Angel.
Well, you know, I hope our listeners were able to really hear what we had to say. And I really would like for them to just take this week, reflect on what does my home look like? You know, is it predictable? Maybe in my adult brain, I kind of have an idea what's happening. But would my kids know what's really happening, when it's happening? Do we eat at a time? Do we have bedtimes? Do we have events we do? You know, and if it's not, start making one change
right.
that you can do consistently.
Love it. One change you can do successfully and consistently. That's the whole goal. Wow. This has been who are you?
Dr. Angel.
And me, Mama Mac, bringing you Go Yard week after week and loving it every single time. So have a great week. God bless you. And we will see you right here. We'll be at this table next Thursday night at 6 p.m. God willing, and the creek don't rise.
Absolutely.
Amen.
Good night.
All right. See you guys.
It's down with the old and up with the new. The hard reset, my life take two. Oh, Lord, have mercy on this weary soul.
WTAN Clearwater.
FM 106.1.
WDCF Dade City, Tampa Bay. WZHR Zephyr Hills.
FM 104.3.
Listen.